Bobrovsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, and it's Friday night. And what else will we have but another document dump from the FBI? Now, don't please tell me. I'm going to tell you why this is important. It's not being talked about anywhere else because it literally just happened. It just happened. So what is it? This is, I think, the third time the FBI has released documents related to the Clinton email investigation. And they always release them on Friday. And why is that? Because everybody except for me has already gone home for the night and for the week. And so nobody's on, you know, Friday night, a lot of shows, honestly, part of the problem is a lot of shows are pre-recorded. People are already on vacation. They're gone for the weekend, done getting on with their lives. And so they want to, if you want to bury a news story, drop it on a Friday night. Well, too bad for Sam Nation here, for the Obamas, because now the contagion is spreading. The news today that Obama apparently used a pseudonym. No, that's a fancy word for a fake name in emails with Clinton using her homebrew email server. So what does this mean? Well, simple enough. Obama was emailing Hillary on his own email. And using a fake name. And apparently the way they found out about this, there's about 163 pages I've downloaded. I've begun to go through it all. But it's going to take me a little while. But from what I can see, there are emails back and forth about the emails that Obama is sending under the pseudonym. Now, the pseudonym is blacked out. Okay, it's redacted. And a lot of these emails, this is what makes this stuff really difficult to read, because you'll get a document and probably about a third of it is redacted. It's either blacked out or whited out. Well, we're not going to read into that. But anyway, so the long story short is Obama knew about the email and it's relevant because he's denied this thing up and down, left and right, from top to bottom. Obama has feigned outrage. And there was this recent interview with CBS because just to set the scene here. So he's being interviewed by CBS News, and it's right after we have the FBI kind of refusing to indict Hillary. They're not recommending prosecution, but what they do condemn, obviously, her use of the server. Now they go back to the president saying, well, you know, are you, what about it? What about, are you disappointed by this? Da, 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 da. And here, let's play the tape.
Mr. President, when did you first learn that Hillary Clinton used an email system outside the U.S. government for official business while she was Secretary of State?
At the same time, everybody else learned it through news reports.
That was the sound of his Pinocchio nose literally just knocked over the cameraman. I mean, what a liar! A total liar. And I'll tell you why. Okay, of course. I mean, Obama lies about everything. I mean, he's lied about Iran, the ransom money. The guy is a total liar. He's a very good liar. But why does this matter? Now he is, for the first time, and you're going to see this, everybody's going to be talking about it next week. For the first time, he's tied into the email scandal millstone that's been hanging around Hillary's neck and is certainly weighing on her poll numbers. And he's now brought into it. And Obama's tried to stay above the fray, right? He's been Hillary's life preserver. He's the guy who's been coming in last minute here and using his high approval numbers. And has been campaigning, has been on the campaign trail for Hillary. In fact, if you listen to the hubbub in Hollywood and else in other liberal bastions, you'll hear from people saying, well, you know what? Let me tell you, as soon as Obama gets in there and really campaigns for her, I mean, when he really gets in there and campaigns for her, this is what's going to save her. I mean, this is what's really going to make the difference. And so anyway, all right, here's the thing. So Well, how can he save her if he's knee-deep in the same muck that she's in? You can't... Well, if you're drowning, you can't exactly be handing out life preservers. This is a problem. So what's happening here? So I guess all these where this has been located is they've got these 302 reports, these FBI 302 reports, and it's just a term that they're using for their notes, their write ups when they're conducting the interviews. And apparently, when they did, even the people inside the Obama administration, well, I'll tell you specifically, one character, Huma Abedin, was so surprised to find out that Obama's communicating with Hillary that she goes, oh my gosh, wow, I need copy me on that email. She uses the term POTUS. So that's, you know, we know, and POTUS is an acronym for President of the United States. So once again, you know, it's Huma that is a source of a leak. I've always said here, these people are not reliable. So if you're just tuning in, here's what's going on. Turns out that Obama has been emailing Hillary. He's been emailing Hillary on her secret email address, on her private homebrew email address. You remember the one that got hacked, right? The one that's, you know, where she's, well, of course, she's saying she's just, you know, doing wedding planning and that kind of thing. But it's the one where her own IT administrator had to go on Reddit, which is an online forum site, where he was asking for IT professionals, other IT people, to give him advice on how to wipe an email server, how to remove headings, how to remove the name of the sender and the recipient, saying it was a VIP person, a name you all would recognize. And so, of course, all this comes out, and Obama has always, you know, we played that clip, but Obama has always denied knowing. And he's always feigned this, oh, I found out about it in the news. And of course I'm disappointed. And he's always been big on transparency, right? I mean, remember that? Remember how Obama was always big on transparency? Remember
this
that?
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Yeah, of course it is. My rear end. You can't. I know these people like I know these people like the back of my hand. And this is all. Now we're in the last 60 days. We got a big debate coming up on Monday. They are, and this is not good timing. This, you got it right now is Hillary's time to close the deal. And so I think it calls for also a good examination, a good look into why she's not able to close the deal. Because I hear a lot of excuses, and I hear a lot of interesting opinions about it from different people. And of course, you know, when I'm off the air, and I'm out and about in my regular civilian life, you know, I'll be talking to people, and some of them, you know, either other professionals or political types, and I'm always baffled by how wrong so many smart people are about this election. And I've talked to you about this before, and so I'm reminded now. I somewhere earlier last, well, it wasn't last week, it was earlier this week, I came across an article in The Hill. And this is some guy, Niall Stanage, wrote an article about the Clinton air war failing to sink Trump, and play on words, but talking about the enormous sums of money that Hillary has sunk into advertising, into negative ads against Trump. You know that Hillary's pissing money away when she's running negative ads on Trump on Fox News. Okay? I mean, this is almost like when Pablo Escobar, you know, in Narcos is burning money just to stay warm. Okay? So you know she's throwing everything she's got at it. And this writer here laments the fact that she's not getting any traction with it, that she's not sinking the USS Donald Trump. And in it, of course, this nice liberal apologist wants to get at a good conservative, you know, GOP insider to give him the scoop, and so he finds some pollster that's not some anti-Trump GOP pollster. And this guy, you know, this guy basically gives him the quote of the article, which then forms the basis of Niles, you know, various strange opinions at the end. But I'll tell you what the quote is, because it ties this all in brilliantly. So the guy quotes this pollster named McMullen and says, with any other candidate other than Clinton, Trump would be down by 25%. So they're kind of saying, well, look, this guy's saying, well, it's Clinton. Clinton's flawed, and Trump would be, you know, Trump would be down 25% if it was just, if only they had run someone other than Clinton. And here is the problem. See, they underestimate, even the anti-Trump GOP underestimates the effectiveness with which Trump is connecting with his followers and is connecting with a large portion of American voters. They're underestimating him. Because I look at the statement, and I'll tell you what I think. I look at it and I go, I mean, any other candidate than Trump, Clinton would be up by 25 points. I mean, hell, come on, what's the list of rhinos? Give me your loser Republicans here. Can we get some Romney? Can we get a little Romney McCain? Okay. What about Lindsey Graham? Remember, he ran. If you got a bunch of these, you know, limpy, loosey-goosey guys, they would be getting shellonged by Hillary. Not to borrow a term from Mr. Trump. So what do I make of this? It's easy. Everybody's saying, well, she's wounded by her email scandal. She's wounded by Benghazi. She's wounded by her stumbling and fumbling. You know, she's got health problems. No! No, no, it's not any of that. Of course, yes, those are symptoms of the problem. But the root pathology is her absolute inability to tell a truth. I swear to goodness, if this woman had yogurt for breakfast, she would tell you she had tricks. Just because. Powell was right. Remember when speaking of emails that got hacked, remember when Colin Powell's emails, you know, he was writing his various pen pals about what he thought of Hillary's email scandal. And what did he say? He said if she'd just owned up to it, done what he called the full Monty, which given Hillary's close ties to Anthony Weiner, I'm not sure we'd ever want to see. But that was his advice. Powell said, just get out, unload it. Get ahead of it. Year and a half ago, she should have done it. And instead, here she is, 50 odd days in front of before the election, and she still acts like, whoopsie daisy. And now, worse yet, she's got Obama now. Now Obama's knee deep in it. And it all goes back not to the crime itself, but to the cover up. This is very strange stuff from a woman that investigated President Richard Nixon on the Watergate Committee. You would think people learn. Hillary's other problem, and I'll tell you this too here, because this is the most important thing. So I've got there's a car at the office every day, and it has all sorts of different stickers, political stickers on it. I'll tell you, very pro-Hillary stickers. So it's all the campaign stuff, you know, this person, she'll go unnamed, actually very, very nice person, but has all this stuff on his car, because he's a big Hillary Clinton supporter. And you know, half the stickers have Trump in them in some way. Have you guys seen this? Have you guys seen all the Trump stickers out there? You know, the anti-Trump, Hillary's campaign is so stuck on an anti-Trump message. Why doesn't she tell us why we should vote for her? I mean, that's what's missing here. The campaign needs to craft a narrative that tells me why, that sells me on voting for her. And I got none of that. I mean, a little bit, but most of it is telling me how horrible Trump is. So these stickers on this particular vehicle have, what is it? Love Trump's hate, and the Trump is really big. And it's actually even done in the same font as the Trump-Pence sticker, which is just, I mean, for Pete's sake, it's like sweet. This is just like if Sweet James were advertising, right? Imagine Sweet James is advertising on the radio and he's got, you know, and instead of saying, I'm the best lawyer, he's going to start to use, yeah, he's going to be like, you know, hey, Finkelstein over there, he sucks. He's the worst lawyer in the world. I mean, what kind of advertising is that? All right, when we come back, another Clinton insider got immunity. You're not going to believe this, literally. I mean, it's, again, this is also breaking just this afternoon. Another insider got immunity. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC, back after this.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And we're back talking about a late-breaking story here on a Friday night. No accident, of course, no accident, because the FBI and the Justice Department and the Obama administration always likes to drop big news that they don't want anybody to pick up on a Friday evening so that nobody in the media, well, everybody forgets about it by Monday, and then the whole thing kind of blows over and it's not, well, out of sight, out of mind. But not in the case of Sam Nation. We are here hot on the trail of late breaking news. Turns out Obama was emailing Hillary using a pseudonym, a fake name, okay, a nom de guerre, if you will. So, he was emailing Hillary on her homebrew server and knew about it all along. And so every time you saw him in the news saying, so I learned about it. I was very disappointed. I learned about it just like you. Just like you, Bill. I learned about it watching the news and very disappointed. And of course, you know, I mean, we try to be transparent here and all that good stuff. What a load of crap. All right. So now Obama now is knee deep in the same trouble that Hillary is in. And it's not about the email. It's not about the corner cutting. It's not about the hiding. It's not about the everything terrible about the email. The actual crime, okay, that was committed by, declassifying information and sending it through a non-secure email. All that would have been history, would have been a ghost of Christmas past, forgotten about, done and over with, if she had just come out and admitted it and done so 2 years ago. And it would have just been old news. And here it is. And it's again, why now next week, all we're going to do is talk about Hillary's emails, because now the story is going to be Obama lied and the whole thing gets resurrected all over again. This is literally the story that will not die, and it's not good for Hillary. So people are asking, why is the Hillary campaign in trouble? Why is it in trouble? And again, there's another scandal out there, and it's not, okay, so it's the Obama thing, but the other thing that just came out on Friday is that Cheryl Mills, you remember, she's the attorney who also served as a staff member, who also served as one of the people who was declassifying information and helding Hillary transmit, was helping Hillary transmit classified documents that had the headers removed. Right? Had the, this is a classified document, you know? Well, guess what happened to her? She just got immunity today. And that's a big deal because I don't know what the count is now. I have to look. I've lost track. But I mean, there, every person who has touched this thing has gotten immunity. It is. And that means nobody wants, and it's interesting, why now? Because, of course, we've heard from the FBI that Hillary's not going to get investigated. So why would somebody need to get immunity? It means she's possibly talking to some other investigators about this. And there might be other lines of inquiry into this that still haven't been put to rest. And I don't know what they might be, and I seriously doubt that there's any chance that Hillary's going to get prosecuted by anybody, even if she loses the election, and certainly not if she wins. But she's not losing this election. This election is not within a hair's you know, break from her winning or losing because of this email thing or because of it. It comes down to her credibility. And I think everybody's beginning to perceive, even many of her supporters, are perceiving her to be fundamentally dishonest. And then, of course, Trump's very clever, monikers that he has for people, they tend to stick. You know, he used them in the primaries. So calling Hillary Crooked Hillary is sticking more and more. Every time she's caught in another lie, it's devastating. And there are other factors, though, and I think are worth examining. And I want to go through it because so many people are telling you why Hillary's losing. They're telling you why, they're saying, "Wow, it's still going to come around." And I want to get into some of the reasons why, because I think at the root of it is an interesting story of how not to run a campaign. So when we come back, a little more on this thought of why Hillary is. May not make it in the end. Okay? Back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rogowski. Now what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking. As opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
And we are back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And talking about the breaking news here that President Obama apparently has been using a pseudonym, a fake name, and writing emails, sending emails to the very email account that he denied having any knowledge of existing, namely Hillary Clinton's homebrew server. So that is not good. In the meantime, Hillary is doing everything she possibly can not to win this election. And I submit to you one exhibit here that I think, it's a video. Where is she here? She's in Las Vegas, and she's talking to the Laborers International Union of North America. Now, traditionally, big labor and Democrats are like peanut butter and jelly. Okay? They go together. They're delicious. Everything's fantastic and hunky-dory. Peanut butter and jelly. And the only problem is that Democrats, right now, Hillary she's a candidate, as a candidate and before as a politician, as a senator and as a secretary of state, has supported a lot of policies that have hurt labor, arguably. Okay, open borders policy, not good for labor, drives down wages and sending jobs overseas, TPP, that kind of thing. So I'm just saying, here she is, and she's supposedly talking to a very friendly group. And I'm going to play you a short little clip here because she kind of at one point goes off the rails. You got to trust me, this video, it's harder to see it on the radio, but just Hillary's sitting there. I'll describe it to you after it's over. Roll the tape.
And I will fight back against so-called right to work. Right to work is wrong for workers and wrong for America. Now, having said all this, why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask?
You should see how she's sitting in the chair, too. She looks like a constipated poltergeist. Okay? And, honestly, it looks like just off the camera... Doesn't it sound like she's yelling, Robbie? In the clip, producer Robbie is nodding his head. She's yelling into the camera, but from the sound, it doesn't seem like there are a lot of people in the room. Does that make sense? It seems like she's talking right into a camera, but she's yelling, but not in a... Is it a broadcast? Is that what it was? It's just the oddest thing. And it almost looks like she's... It's more robotic than usual. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. And then she goes... She's talking in a relatively normal Hillary cadence. And then she launches into this thing about why aren't I 50 points ahead? And here's part of the problem. You know, I just came across today and just read in the news. And normally I don't try to concern myself too much with the Kardashians. But apparently, Kim Kardashian might be wavering in her support of one Hillary Rodham Clinton. That's right. She came out. She said, I'm with Hillary. You know, I'm with her. But now she claims that just maybe she might end up supporting Trump. Now, what might you think is the reason for her, maybe like some revelation here, changing tune? Apparently, it's all because she spoke to Caitlyn. That's right. Caitlyn Jenner had a heart-to-heart the other day with Kim Kardashian. And I thought about this for a minute, and I thought, you know, I've all through the race, Hillary has seemed a little bit lost. Like, I've said this before on the program, that she seems like she's stuck campaigning in the 90s. I think that Trump just gets these times better than Hillary does and understands how to talk to voters and how to communicate. Because here it is, basically, you've got a transvestite telling a reality TV star that maybe she ought to vote for the Republican candidate. And she's the reality TV star is buying it. It's a crazy world. Think about it. This is not the 1990s. Anyway, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
And we are back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And do we have that clip where Hillary... You guys remember when Hillary began barking like a dog in the middle of a speech? Do we have that? No, I mean, that literally is Hillary Clinton. How long ago was that? Like 4 months ago, 5 months ago? Can you imagine if you heard... Can you imagine the terror you would hear... feel in your heart if you heard that behind you. Can you imagine? I mean, before I would even feel the bite, I would want to call Sweet James. I mean, right. Well, no, that's just it. I mean, a dog bite, it can be bad. You know, a dog bites you, it gets infected, you know, and you think, oh, I feel bad. I feel bad for the owners. You know, maybe I'll call their insurance company and see if they'll cover my medical bills. And then just don't do it. You know, don't do it. Because you don't want to get into it. You don't want to give a statement. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to say, hey, it was a brown dog and maybe it was a black dog or maybe it was Hillary Clinton wearing prism glasses. You know, you don't know. But what you, yeah, and look, if it's Hillary, you're for sure getting some kind of infection. You might end up with pneumonia or worse. So what do? You call Sweet James Bergener. He's the only attorney you can trust to take care of your case. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Now, if you were with us last segment, what you really wish for is to have had the microphone stay live after we went off air, because then you would have heard a very engaging conversation between me and the Sam Nation staff where they had to teach me the difference between transvestite and transgender. And you'd think that at 36, I would have it figured out. And apparently I did not. So, I stand corrected. There's a difference. And I misspoke. All right, moving right along. Oh, I'm serious, though. I wish you could have heard it. Because, you know, producer Robbie is... Well, he can't always... Yeah, he can't always... yeah. Well, he's well-versed. All right. It's Friday. But anyway, we're doing an anatomy... humor me here. An anatomy of why Hillary Clinton is not succeeding as much. Why she's not 50 points ahead, as she lamented on Wednesday to the labor union she was speaking to in Las Vegas, Nevada. Why am I not 50 points ahead? And I'm explaining it to her very slowly here. But can we go back to one very important thing? Part of the problem here is that maybe she wasn't really democratically elected. You remember this whole Debbie Wasserman Schultz thing? You know, the now on the outs chair of the Democratic Party. She's not there anymore. Got booted. But basically, the way the Democrat primary was run, it had all these superdelegates. So basically, the Democratic Party nominee more or less is selected by a relative small number of people who are party grandees and different, you know, muckety mucks. And so it wasn't necessarily up to a groundswell of popular support. Now, right, because we're back to what I shared with you before. If you tuned in at the beginning of the program, I was talking about this quote from a pollster that said, with any other candidate other than Trump, Clinton would be, you know, Trump would be up, would be down by 25%. Like, you know, that it's all Clinton's doing and, you know, Trump is a goofball. But the reality is, maybe there is a little bit of truth to it in the sense that if they had a candidate like Bernie who people wanted and were excited about, maybe the Democrats wouldn't be in this terrible predicament. Alternatively, had Hillary Clinton known that her candidacy wasn't in the bag, wasn't a guaranteed with all these superdelegates, you know, in her back pocket, maybe she would have tried harder in the primary to appeal to all the Bernie Sanders voters. Maybe it would have forced her to clean house on some of these issues, to be more transparent, to, you know, say, hey, my bad on the emails. You know, hey, you know, maybe I haven't always been as forthcoming as I should have been. But she was so smug in the primary, and her smugness was enabled by the Democratic Party with their stupid rules allowing these superdelegates to pick the candidate. And she knew all along that she had it in the bag, that she had everybody in her back pocket, and that she was going to be she was just coronated. So we come back. I'm going to talk just very briefly about some of the news that's come out on Charlotte. And I have some thoughts. I know we talked about it yesterday, but I want to just bring you up to speed with what's been going on. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And we are back almost to the top of the hour here. Friday night, we've been following the news story that has broken about Obama. Apparently, Obama, using a pseudonym, was emailing Hillary Clinton on her homebrew email server, even though he'd been denying all along having any knowledge of the setup of the private email server. Kind of hard, guys. Kind of hard to deny something when... you are actually using it, and again, probably thought never would be discovered. And that is the arrogance of power. Okay. Yesterday we had, I think, a very honest and frank show. If you didn't hear it, it's worth downloading on the podcast, samnation.com, where all the podcast treasures are located. And we were talking about the shooting in Charlotte, specifically, and the riots that followed, and gave you some thoughts. Now, I wanted to give you a little bit of updates, as you've known. You know, one of the things that I really stressed yesterday was we got to get to the facts. And so we got to look at what happened, and we don't want to rush to any judgment, and the facts really do matter in these things. I remembered something, you know, because we also found out this morning that the officer in the Tulsa shooting, a female police officer, was actually arrested for manslaughter. So it looks like she's been charged, arrested, released on bail, and that's what's supposed to happen. There it is. It's what I said yesterday. Let the investigation take shape. One thing I really like is that the police chief in Charlotte is refusing to release the video. And people are having a cow about it, right? They're saying, oh, this isn't transparency. This is, oh, my goodness, you're hiding something, you evil cops, you know, that kind of thing. Listen, let me tell you something. All of these videos that are being released really shouldn't be. The families shouldn't be releasing their video, because if they really want the truth to get out, and I have my reasons to believe that they don't, but if they really want the truth to get out, you hold back all these pieces of evidence to keep people's memory the sole source of information that they're testifying to, right? If you take a witness to any event, okay? Now, the minute that you show that witness a video, play them an audio clip, give them a photograph of a different point of view or something there that happened, now you're adulterating their perspective. Now you are changing their perspective. And this is huge. So the police chief, when he's withholding this video, and I know this from experience when we investigate these cases, and I want to get ahead of something here. I thought about this a little bit, and I want to just drop this because I think it's going to be part of the discussion next week about these police shooting cases. I am reminded of a case that I worked on a number of years ago where it was a young man. He's going to a McDonald's. He's leaving the McDonald's, and there's a robbery adjacent to the McDonald's. And a police officer comes around the corner from the robbery, and she shoots dead this guy, and we ended up representing the family. Now, the family had a very strong wrongful death claim because the police officer just popped the guy, I mean, shot him dead for no good reason. It was, I mean, plain and simple. And when we conducted a thorough investigation and went on for some time, one of the things that came out was that this female police officer really had no business being a cop. I mean, she was a basket case. She'd just come back from some kind of psych leave. She was really being handled very carefully by this department because she was a female minority. Now, I know I'm not going to get a lot of love for this. I'm going to tell you guys, this is really important. When you look at some of these police shootings and you see it's almost like people are relieved when they see it's a minority, it's a woman, but remember this, you know, are some of these police departments in an effort to outreach to communities and to be more diverse, are they lowering their standards? Are they lowering their standards? And is that ultimately causing more problems than it's worth? It's something we need to examine in greater depth. And I think it's going to be a topic of discussion in the coming weeks. Anyway, we're going to be back on Tuesday. We're not here on Monday because of the debate. On Tuesday, we'll be back, and we're going to talk all about the debate. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Your 2016 election headquarters. KABC.
Los Angeles.
Orange County. A Cumulus station.